Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
The NFL basically, through Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport, they reported this on Sunday, essentially admitted the error on the low block call. So you can see it right at the time. Buzz the referee, buzz Tony Corrente, and say either crew conference or whatever while we look at this play. And they didn't do it. Walt Anderson didn't do it. The replay official sitting upstairs didn't do it. And then 7 days later, when it does the Bears, absolutely no good, right, other than for Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace to punch the wall when they hear about this. The league essentially admits its mistake when they could have done something about it. That is what is the ultimate slap in the face about all these calls. Many of them the league could have done something about and didn't. I sound very edgy and angry about this stuff because, quite honestly, I am. And I'm angriest, more honestly, I'm angriest about the fine for Cassius Marsh. That's a sin. That is a sin. And the NFL, for many reasons, has had egg on its face over the years. This is one of those times where clearly the NFL should be ashamed of itself.
That's one of the heavy hitters in the world of NFL media. That was Peter King when he joined Yurk and me earlier this week. I mean, that is the sentiment going around. I mean, you're hearing it from writers, fans, coaches, everybody other than Matt Nagy, of course, who appreciates the process. There's some outrage. Gambling probably has a lot to do with it, like Mello was saying, you know, where more and more people now are entering into this space and into this world. They're going to demand that these calls be made right because it's affecting their bottom line. You know, it used to be a little bit more underground and taboo and okay, but now it is out there for everyone who would like to dabble and partake, and many people are. We see that in the sheer volume. And rightfully so on many levels. And I think the coaches have flat out had it. We just played the Sean Payton sound. But here we are going on 2 weeks later, and people are still buzzing about what happened in the Bears-Steelers game and just various calls throughout the course of the season. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Right. Let's remember who created this. The owners created this stupidity because they didn't want the taunting stuff. They didn't want the fighting and the this and the that. So it's
although
the
that sounds
owners.
Like some coaches were in on that too, Yurko, like Ron Rivera and Mike Tomlin.
Oh, I'm getting to it, kid. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, then you got the some of the coaches in the league that decided they're mightier than all and decided they wanted to play along and go into this thing. Well, the reason we did it was to prevent fighting. Dumb. Dumb. You know, Gilbert Brown, my teammate up in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Was he taunting them every time he did the Gravedigger?
The Gravedigger.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wasn't that him taunting Neil Smith every time he hit a home run after he did the made a sack?
Right.
Was he not taunting people?
The icky shuffle, Yurk, or the dirty bird?
When they got together. I mean, this isn't a new concept.
Mark
Gastineau
with the dance.
Yes. Now, this is not an old thing that's happened in the NFL. The fun bunch in the end zone with the Washington Redskins.
Yep.
I mean, what are we doing here? Wait, we reverting back to the no fun league is what we wanted again? And then our guy Chico Rivera stands in front. Well, you know, we're in favor of this because we don't want fighting. It's crap. It's crap. Once again, the NFL does something. I mean, the NFL is willing to change rules all the time, but they've done something now that has put more of a subjective view into the official. And what Corrente did when he bumped into the player intentionally and then threw the flag after that was horrendous. Corrente deserved to be suspended after that. They didn't.
Let's bring
the best
in
player on the best player on the Pittsburgh Steelers, Tony Corrente, right now.
Best player on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Funny. Hey, with T.J. Watt maybe not playing this week, you could be right. Boy, are they going to have a home field advantage out in L.A. this week or what? Do you remember when they played in L.A. a couple years ago in the soccer stadium? I mean, like, the poor Chargers. Like, they can't. I mean, what can you say?
They get everything they deserve, kid.
Oh, I guess you're right.
That's right.
Let's bring in our buddy Dan Weider from the Chicago Tribune. He joins Carmen and Yurko now on the Corona Hotline. And, I mean, you know, like, you guys are still talking about it, Dan. We are, you guys are, you're reporting on it, writing about it. I mean, this is an issue that you almost think that the league is going to be forced to handle. I guess I'd like to think that, although they kind of march the beat of their own drum, they can kind of kick their feet up and be like, F you, we're the most popular and nothing's going to happen to us. I don't know. How do they deal with some of the, you know, like the blowback? I mean, it's coming from their own coaches now, Dan.
Yeah, well, and understand this, that they sent out a memo this week with more video examples of what they're trying to crack down on. So it's not just the teams and the media and fans talking about it. The league itself is talking about it and trying to, you know, create a clearer message for teams on what they're trying to accomplish. Listen, I understand the intent of what they're trying to do. The things that they're trying to eliminate are essentially when a guy makes a big catch, gets up afterwards and goes face mask to face mask with an opponent and starts jawing and creates that unnecessary conflict that they want to avoid. The question is how do you enforce this properly? How do you create a punishment that fits the crime? Where in the case of the one that the Bears incurred a week and a half ago, it obviously did not, you know, giving a team a free first down and ultimately 3 points that helped them win a game because a guy walked 6 steps toward the opposing sideline is not supposed to be what they are calling. I went through all 37 of these guys, all 37 taunting calls through the first 10 weeks of the season, and there's probably, you know, 24 that fit the bill for what they're trying to eliminate. The ones that where it is, you know, face-to-face, you know, conflict and flexing and looming and all that stuff. And then there's a dozen where you go, what are we doing here? What in the world are we trying to do here? And so it's sort of a case of, like, are you going to be the police officer that sits at the intersection and pulls over every single person that doesn't come to a complete stop behind the stop line? Or are you going to use common sense and try to figure out a way through this?
Yeah, and then the thing that I think is starting to draw the ire more and more of coaches, and, you know, perhaps you got to be careful because when it benefits your team, I suppose you'll take it. But the stuff with the quarterbacks, I mean, and like, again, like what you were just talking about, Dan, I get the spirit of a lot of it, right? Like, the quarterback is the position. I understand why the league wants to protect the quarterback. The league needs Mahomes and Dak to be healthy this week for their marquee matchup. Like, I get it, but there, again, has to be some common sense, or if the game is happening too fast, someone to help the officials. A play like what we were just talking about in the Saints Tennessee game last week cannot happen. You know, that flag cannot happen, which ultimately potentially is costing the Saints a football game. Can't happen.
Yeah, I think that's a bigger issue right now. I think the taunting thing that they can get under control if you sort of create an understanding amongst teams and officials on exactly what you're trying to eliminate, and then enforce that strictly. The unnecessary roughness and all these things that they do to protect quarterbacks is a bigger problem, in my opinion, because they happen all the time. You get guys, you know, penalized for putting their body weight on a quarterback where you say, listen, I'm 305 pounds and I'm moving at high speeds with guys blocking me. I can't control which way my body weight goes at the split second that I touch the quarterback, right? And there's a lot of those that influence games and change results and do things that are just not good for the league as a whole. And you don't want everyone in the outside world to be spending every week talking about how the officiating is gumming up your game, right? There's a lot of exciting things happening in this league right now, a lot of fun races in divisions and wild card races and everything else that we should be paying attention to for the last 8 weeks of the season. And as a league, you've got to make sure that the guys in the stripes aren't the ones impacting the final results of these games.
The Bears made a – let's talk a little Bears-Ravens. I'm glad we kind of got that out of the way, but it is still a big talking point across the league. Here's something that we were discussing, and it's almost hard to imagine that across three coaching regimes, the Bears have somehow failed for 7 seasons to win out of the bye. I mean, that's an indictment. You know, there's a reason that Andy Reid's a machine out of the bye. Sean Payton, John Harbaugh, like, good coaches win out of the bye. The Bears have lost 7 in a row. That's crazy, Dan.
But what's crazy about it is John Fox came here 10-3 out of the bye in his career, and then he lost every single game coming out of the bye when he was
the Bears screwed him. See, even Foxy couldn't figure out it's the franchise.
Matt Nagy, as you mentioned, is from the Andy Reid tree, so he took all of Andy's formula for coming out of the bye week and having success. Andy's 19-3 after the bye. Matt's 0-3, right?
Unreal.
Like, it makes no sense. And you say, what is it there? You know, what's behind the trend? Sometimes it's who you play and when you play them, and they've had some instances over those 7 that you mentioned that it's just like it didn't matter what they did over the bye week. They were just outclassed by the opponent, and they were going to get beat. But you've got to find a formula, and particularly this year with the team they have right now having not won since October 10th, you've got to find a way to break this losing streak, and you got to hope that the extra preparation time is helpful to you and that you're able to put out your best effort against a very good Ravens team coming to town Sunday.
In the fourth quarter, it looked like the Bears threw caution to the wind offensively, and Justin Fields found something. Are we hoping for that to continue, or can we expect that to continue?
I think so. I think what you saw, Yerk, is that there was a vertical passing attack that stemmed from their ability in previous weeks to establish a run and make defenses respect what you're doing with the ground game. And then all of a sudden you hit some chunk plays. And those chunk plays not only demoralize the defense, they bring belief to your huddle. And the Bears had belief in the second half of that game. They had belief when they took over the ball down 6 points, needing a touchdown to go ahead in that game, and they knew they were going to go down and score. That belief counts for a lot right now. And the way Justin Fields is bringing that to the huddle and then backing it up with great throws and good reads and smart plays and then off-script things like the touchdown pass to Mooney where he gets outside of the pocket, sees what he needs to see and makes a perfect throw. Those things are all signs of growth for an offense. Now, you got to make sure those signs are seen every single week and that they're seen more often each week as you go from now through the middle of January because there's a lot of football left for this offense to play.
There's no chance Lamar Jackson actually misses this game Sunday, is there?
It doesn't feel like it. You talk to people in Baltimore, there's a, you know, an expectation that he might be able to get out on the practice field a little bit today.
Okay.
It's not an illness that will, you know, mandate that he sits out. It's not COVID-19 related. So, you know, they don't exactly have a backup that says, yeah, let's go with him instead. If Lamar is, you know, 80% healthy, you'd imagine that he'd be on the field and ready to roll on Sunday.
And the Bears sign Bruce Irvin to try to – look, you're taking flyers now any way you can get him. Khalil's still hurt.
Well,
Khalil's not going to play this week, is he, Dan? Trending that way, right?
When you sign Bruce Irvin, that tells you that Khalil's not going to play this week and Khalil may not play again this season, right? Because that's a move made because you need to find answers for your pass rush.
Okay.
And so we'll see what Matt Nagy says after practice today. Khalil hasn't been back. I'd expect that he won't practice today and they'll declare him out for Sunday. And then they've got to make that decision on, you know, is it time to throw him on IR? And if it's IR, do you leave the window open for him to potentially play later in the year? But eventually, you know, if you're 4-8, what are you bringing Khalil Mack back for at that point, right?
I think that's a great point. And if he doesn't play this week and it doesn't look like it, then you're talking about the Thanksgiving game. So you got a short week. I mean, if he doesn't play this week, it's hard to imagine he plays in Detroit. And I think you're right. They could be getting close to a decision time on Khalil. But great stuff, Dan. We appreciate it. You think they win this weekend?
You know, I don't, but I also am not as sure of that as I have been in previous weeks. We'll see what the Ravens bring to the table. I think it doesn't help them that the Ravens had their little dud game right before coming here
Then
also got an extended week. You know, the Bears have the bye, but the Ravens only played 3 days after the Bears did, right? So they both kind of had long weeks to prepare. That doesn't work in the Bears' favor, and we'll see what happens Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good point. They got drilled the last time they were on the field. And normally, under John Harbaugh, they bounce back. So they don't lose consecutive games or have long losing streaks very often under Harbaugh. Certainly not the last couple of years. Dan, great stuff. Have a good weekend, buddy. We appreciate it.
You guys as well. Good talking to you.
All right, there's Dan Wiederer, at Dan Wiederer on Twitter from the Chicago Tribune. Yeah, I had the stat here, Yerk. Let's see if I can find it in my notes real quick. Here, since the start of 2019, Yerk, Ravens are 6-3 following a loss. And one of those losses actually was when RG3 had to play a game when Lamar was hurt. So actually 6-2 with Lamar Jackson since 2019 following a loss. So it was probably the worst thing that could have happened for the Bears was the way they got their clocks cleaned.
Yep. Extra time
Dolphins,
for him,
right?
Too.
Yeah. All
double
that stuff.
Dip.
You're right. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Yurko's going to give you the bare necessities, the keys to the game when we come back next.
It's time once again to find out how the
Bears
secure a victory this week.
The Bears.
As the Carmen and Yurko Show presents.
Well, that's just great.
The bare necessities.
You hear that, Ed? Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife.
Yurko's recipes, the bare necessities, brought to you by Powering Chicago. All right, good kid. You ready to do it? Week 11, Bears and Ravens?
I am, Carm. I am.
I ask you, Yurko.
Yes?
What are the bare necessities?
Carmen, I'm glad you asked. These are the bare necessities and or the keys to how the Bears get victorious at Soldier Field on Sunday. Key number one. It's all about Lamar Jackson. That's right. I don't care how sick, how ill, how which bug might be coming at him right now, which virus is attacking him. It doesn't make a difference. The quarterback is the straw that stirs the drink. So the quarterback is the one that you've got to get after. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Key number two. Where does the pressure come from?
Good question.
In his face. I want it to come from a slot blitz. I know they don't do it much, but the slot corner coming in, I want him blitzing in his face, forcing him to go left. I need that guy, the right defensive end, to stay upfield. We got to sandwich him in, not give him avenues to escape. Key number three. Carm, I liked what I saw with that vertical passing game last week, but what do we have to do? You have to keep the football, so you're still going to have to find a way to run. Time of possession, 35 minutes is the goal. 35 minutes is what you're looking for. You've got a combination of running backs. You can go ahead and use Montgomery or Herbert, whatever his name is. Them are the guys that you can use. Keep running the ball. Keep it out of the other team's hand. It's going to be cold. It's going to be chilly. You know what happens when receivers start having balls hit their hands when it's that cold? Yeah, they start dropping the ball. They start dropping the ball. All right, Carm?
Yeah.
Key number four. I want a defensive touchdown, Carm. We had a special teams touchdown last week. They picked the fumble up off the back of the individual. They returned it for a touchdown. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what they did, special teams. We haven't had a special teams play here in Chicago since Corduroy Patterson was with this team. Okay? Now he's down in Atlanta. I'm asking for the defense to do something, and for the love of everything that is holy, if they find a way just to get an interception, a batted ball, something goes off a helmet, careens into the air, will somebody please catch the ball that's being parachuted down in their hands and find a way to get into the end zone, Carm? And those are the keys to a Bears victory.
Beautiful.
I like that. That was spirited rendition. And
spirited.
That's brought to us by
Bare Necessities, brought to you by Powering Chicago.
I love it. Powering Chicago. Sounds like the Electricians Union a part of that. And NEGA. I don't know if you know NEGA, but boy, they're on top
of
their
game. I know IBEW.
Yeah, that's 134, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
By the way, just to change subject real quickly.
Why?
Carm, you're not here right now, and Mickey and Minnie keep walking by our studios. I don't know what they're doing here today. But
irritating.
Mickey and Minnie are here.
I love that Merkin, they walk by, and Merkin gets a big smile on his face.
So happy.
And Yurko, meanwhile, is disgusted.
I'm disgusted by it, you know?
You can't be disgusted by Mickey and Minnie.
I am disgusted by corporate greed. That's what when I see those two, that's what I see. Corporate greed. Yeah, that's what I see.
Special,
you guys don't see that?
You're so cynical. You should see joy, like when you were a kid and you saw Mickey Mouse.
Oh boy, Carmen.
You're excited, right?
Oh boy, you have bought into the propaganda, kid. Okay, feel free. Not me.
No, I'm just not as cynical as you.
I see those two. If I was ever gonna, I'd love the Mickey Mouse flipping off. You know, the middle finger. That's the tattoo I wanted to get on the chest.
A Mickey Mouse flipping the bird.
Flipping the bird. That's the Mickey Mouse
would
that
you go,
I know.
A left peck or where
I
are you
would
going?
I would go Mickey Mouse on one, flipping off America, and then Mighty Mouse on the other.
Oh, I love Mighty Mouse.
Which between the two mouses, maybe flipping each other off.
I mean, Mighty Mouse is the superior mouse.
Mighty
now,
Mouse.
Here we go
of
down the rabbit hole.
Of the mice. It would Jerry maybe being the big one of them all from Tom and Jerry.
No, the best ever is Mighty Mouse.
Well,
gotta be.
Okay, but to me, Jerry with no special powers, right?
Yeah.
No magic, no sorcery, no none of that that Mickey Mouse theoretically has.
Yeah.
You can't fly like Mighty Mouse. All Jerry did was win, no matter what.
Yeah, he did win. He did get the
best. Tom never got the best of him.
He just clowned Tom time and time again.
He did clown him.
That's all he did. So, I mean, I don't know. If I, in my power rankings of mice.
Yes.
I go with Jerry.
Jerry number one.
Mighty Mouse.
Uh-huh.
And then if I have to put maybe Minnie before Mickey, I mean, nothing for either one of them. I'm trying to think of a third mouse.
I know. I can't think of a third one, but Mighty Mouse had the song and everything. Here he comes
to save the day. I agree
right,
with
so
you.
So that awesome. Obviously took on a whole nother level, though, when Andy Kaufman made that famous, right?
Well, that's true, yeah. When Andy Kaufman famously did it on SNL. He did it in a stand-up,
yes,
and then he did it
correct.
In an SNL one.
Does the song resonate the same way if Andy Kaufman doesn't bring it to another level?
Good question, although When I was a kid,
it was something to behold.
Yeah, the Mickey Mighty Mouse was still on.
312-332-3776 If we're forgetting about a mouse, we might be forgetting about a mouse. I don't know.
And by the way, who got clowned more? Was it Jerry clowning Tom Moore or the Roadrunner clowning the Coyote?
Wile E. Coyote had no chance.
Different conversation.
No chance.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's a different conversation, I know, but it just made me think of it. Like, the Coyote never had a chance.
Never had a chance to win.
Mimi.
Never had a chance to win.
You think the kids still even watch cartoons like that?
Yes, I think they do. I think.
Do
you guys watch cartoons? Sure they do. They watch The Simpsons. They watch Family Guy.
Someone said Speedy Gonzalez.
Speedy's been canceled. Speedy Gonzalez.
Speedy has been canceled.
When did Speedy get canceled?
Well, I don't know that kids even understand like the cartoon. Like they can't be watching the same stuff that we watch.
Well, no, of course not.
Even cartoons in general.
My kids used to watch Adult Swim on Comedy Network.
At what age?
Frylock. They were watching Frylock and Shake and Meatwad. Remember
sure.
Those?
Yes, Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. But the question is, when were they watching that? At what age?
They were 8, 10. They didn't care. They had access. They just watched. Like, what are you guys? It's the Cartoon Network. I'm thinking I'm fine. I go.
Adult Swim's a little different. Right. Yeah.
I'm like, why would you put something bad on the Cartoon Network?
Yeah, Erko's got Jake E. watching The Archer at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, right,
at night.
The Archer. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Jake E. was watching whatever he wanted to watch.
I will, I have been debating when to let my kids, or when to actually encourage them to watch the one on Netflix that you guys have, you, Carm, were kind of like not into. What's the, it's about puberty. Why can't I think of the name of it right now?
Can we tell Randy to pipe down in there?
The screen calls.
I know what you're talking about. I've heard it's funny. It's real raunchy.
Yes, it's very raunchy. Have you watched it, Eric?
When would you let your kids watch The Simpsons?
I forbid them from watching anything from The Simpsons from the last decade because it's jumped the shark long ago.
Okay.
Yes. But early Simpsons, I encourage them to watch. You know, once they're 6 or 7 years old.
When she was playing the saxophone, Lisa was playing the saxophone.
Oh, Bleeding Gums and Murphy.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
I got the Savoir Faire, Pinky in the Brain.
Pinky in the Brain is what Carmen and I did on the bourbon bottle, Russell's Reserve.
That was our Russell's pick with the Bub City. It was Pinky in the Brain.
And who's the other guy that you mentioned? What other mouse did you mention?
Savoir Faire.
Savoir Faire is everywhere.
Yeah.
That's Dennis Savard.
That's Dennis Savard. What are you talking about?
Savoir Faire.
Big Mouth. Big Mouth is on Netflix.
Big Mouth. Yeah, I've heard Big Mouth
is hilarious.
You haven't watched
it?
I've seen a couple. My brothers love it.
I love it, dude.
It's funny. It's really raunchy.
But honestly, I've heard sex experts talk about how it's actually, it does a good job of explaining puberty to kids. Yeah, well, listen, you got to prepare them, but it talks about it, and it's got a wholesome message for the most part, tries to encourage people not to be ashamed of what they're going through, and it's crude. Not going to deny that.
I'm not saying
you should go watch it with your pubescent teens or anything like that, but if they want to watch it alone and then afterwards you want to get together and discuss what you've watched, it might be a good way to go ahead and have that conversation about what people are going through.
The hard thing for anybody that's got kids that are about, you know, like my kid's age, Meller's twins are a little bit older than my kids, but it's these YouTubers, and I know I sound like the old man yelling at the clouds here, but like it's depressing that this is what is entertainment, that these guys make the money they make. It is. To say it's nonsense is actually giving them a compliment. Like, it is such mindless stupidity. It is beyond belief to me that this is what people watch and that this is what's entertaining to kids. It really is. And I know, I get it. I'm the old man. But Mr. Beast and all these, maybe I'm a little envious that they could be 25 years old and be worth $50 million, because, but it is so mindless and stupid It frustrates the ever-living hell out of me.
All right.
And I think any parent that's got kids that are, like I said, about our kids' age that are watching this stuff, it's all that they put on.
I got a response from my Nico, who's 25 now, but back when was it that we let him watch Adult Swim? He goes, way too young when we started watching Adult Swim. So that's just that.
Nice, honest answer.
Don't forget South Park also, he said. Watch South Park a lot. Yeah. He goes, me and Jake took a copy of South Park movie from your office back when it was Carmen, Yurko, and Harry.
Yes, bigger, longer, uncut.
Yes, they ended up doing that. So, you know, the kids were exposed early on. But I will tell you, the one benefit is, and whether it was watching cartoons the way we brought them up, they can communicate well with adults. My kids have no problem looking adults in the eyes and holding conversations with
Maybe
those
that
people.
Is good then. Maybe there was something good that came out of it.
You know, and that's the one thing I take to my kids, and even my daughter who's 17 now, can look people in the eye and have conversations with them. They're not sheepish whatsoever.
But they could have gotten that from you and the way you...
They could have got it from the ex-roommate, too.
Yeah.
They could have gotten it from the people that we hung around with. Everybody was more than happy to give their thoughts and opinions.
You could have encouraged
even
them.
Even if you disagreed in opinions, you know, you went back and forth. There was an exchange of ideas.
Yeah.
And an exchange of ideas was always... brought
encouraged.
To the table and encouraged,
right.
Absolutely.
Encouraged. Yeah.
Especially in the Croatian family we had. There'd be people slamming fists on the table trying to argue a point, but then everybody settle everybody down and say, okay, let's get to what we're actually talking about. So,
yeah. Luka Modric kind of is the best soccer player in the world.
Boy, that's,
that's no debate in the Croatian
Oh, champ, let me tell you, you were talking about World War II. And the end of World War II.
Yeah, that's a different topic.
And the Allied powers.
That's a different topic.
You want to talk about theories being thrown about.
Yeah, that's
and they
different.
All lived through it. Remember
sure,
now.
Sure.
They're all from the former Yugoslavia.
Yep.
So they all lived through it.
Yeah.
So, oh, my heavens.
Yeah, that's a different topic.
You won't read this stuff in the history books. That's for damn
day.
Sure. Yeah. It's for
right,
damn
we got,
sure.
We got a break. Todd Furman gives us best bets, college and pro, live in Vegas next.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, every Friday during the football season, at this time we go to Vegas. We talk to our buddy Todd Furman, one of the best in the biz, as we get the inside scoop on all the best college pro games for the weekend. Make sure you listen to Todd's podcast wherever you get your pods, the Bet the Board podcast with Todd and Peyton Sider. Follow him on Twitter. He is at Todd Furman, and he joins Carmen and Yurko on the Corona Hotline. What's going on, Todd? How are you doing?
I'm doing all right this morning, gentlemen. How are you boys holding up?
Everybody's good. We're trying to figure out if the Bears are going to actually win a game out of the bye for the first time since 2013. That is some dubious streak they got going. They got a Ravens team coming in that is coming off a little extra rest of their own because they played last Thursday night, and they got their butts kicked. That probably is not good news for the Bears. But how come this number has come down a little bit? Where is the and why maybe is the interest in the Bears right now?
You know, a combination of factors. Early in the week, this number started to leak down because there was speculation that no one knew exactly, how healthy Lamar Jackson was going to be. Of course, he returned to practice today, and so the 4.5s that were out there turned into 5s and 5.5s with some questions about the health of the receiving core as Rashad Bateman missed practice, Hollywood Brown, etc. Meanwhile, for the Bears, you have to believe this is the healthiest this defense is going to be, given what we saw over the last couple of weeks. We at least got flashes of Justin Fields in Monday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers before they came up short. And when you look at the Ravens so far this year, I mean, they've been lousy as a favorite. 1-6 against the spread in that role, 0-5 against the numbers favorites of more than 4 points, and they're still winless as a road favorite as well. So plenty of stats working against Baltimore in this spot. And I think the Bears team has the playmakers that could potentially put a little bit of stress on that Ravens defense. Unhappy that I missed the 6 myself, but only could back the Bears in this spot. Couldn't really make a case for the Ravens whatsoever.
All right, there you go. Some big games around the league here coming up, and one inside the Bears division is Packers-Vikings. I mean, if the Packers go on the road and win this game, they can take a knee on the division. I mean, they're pretty much there anyway. So what do we think? One last stand here for the Vikings? Will they hang with Green Bay this weekend?
I really believe that's the case. I like Minnesota quite a bit in this game to go out there and win outright on the field. Now, I know this number has come down from 2.5 where it opened as we see it moving into that one pick 'em range thereabouts. Aaron Rodgers dealing with a toe injury. I know Green Bay would lead you to believe it's nothing, but Rodgers still missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday, so you do wonder about how effective he's going to be in the pocket moving around, if it'll impact any of his throws. And when you look at this Vikings team, I mean, the thing about them is they've been in every single football game. They've had a lead of at least 7 points or more every game they've played this year. I know 8 out of 9 games have been decided by a touchdown or less, and 7 of the Vikings games this season have the winner's been determined on the final play of the game. You look at Dalvin Cook, I think he should be able to have a ton of success against his Green Bay defensive front. The Packers' stop unit has been one of the more unheralded storylines that we've seen so far this year, but this has also been a building where Minnesota's had some success against Green Bay in the past. I know they were swept in the season series last year, but at the same time, I think Minnesota's season hangs in the balance, and I really believe you get an all-in effort from the Vikings in a quest to get to 500.
Yeah, very interesting game in Orchard Park. Colts and Bills, Buffalo's number one in overall DVOA. That's in large part to their number one defensive unit, but let's face it, they have not played a vaunted set of offenses, and they're going to get an offense that certainly played much, much better. 7, it was maybe even 7.5 a little early on. Is that where this game settles? Will there be enough money on the Colts to take this under a key number? What do you think we should be looking at Colts for Colts-Bills?
Pretty wild when you look at these two teams and realize the combined records of the teams that the Colts and Bills have beaten, 27-66 so far this year. So far from murderer's row. I mean, second worst strength of victory in the league for Indianapolis are slightly better than the Bills. I mean, these two teams really have a lot to prove out there. And when you talk about Buffalo's defense, I believe they're good. I don't think they're as strong as what we've seen so far, but an area where they are exceptional is in their defensive backfield. And when you have the likes of Tre'Davious White that will most likely travel with Michael Pittman, I'm not sure the Colts have enough secondary weapons in their passing attack to really put a lot of fear into Buffalo's defense. Meanwhile, on the other side, if we get the same Josh Allen we saw last weekend against the Jets, there's going to be opportunity for him to take profits against this Colts front that doesn't like to get after the quarterback and plays a lot of soft coverage. I think this number speaks volumes here, and we did see it open at 6.5. It ticked up to 7, even 7.5 before there was a little bit of resistance. The only way for me to look would be laying the points with Buffalo, but I'd be lying if I said I knew exactly what these two football teams were, even this late in the season.
Any thought on the total? Some pretty strong overtrends in that game, right?
I think the big question here, as always this time of year, is making sure that you stay up to date on the weather forecast in Western New York. There could be some winds. I don't think we're going to get a wintry mix or anything along those lines. So that would be the only reason that would keep me on the sidelines. The other thing about it for Frank Reich is he's been extremely conservative, but if you believe Indianapolis is going to play from behind, they may have to open up the playbook a little bit more, which I think will bode well for going over the total.
In the marquee afternoon tilt, you got Dallas and Kansas City. You get anywhere from 2 to 3, 2.5. What side do you like in this one, or is just the number the one to play?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the more compelling games, obviously, from a watchability standpoint, Yurka. From a number side, I'm not sure there's a real strong case to be made either way. I made Kansas City a 2-point favorite here. If it got to 3, I would be inclined to number grab with the Cowboys just as a value proposition. I think Dallas provides so many challenges for opposing defenses. If the passing game isn't working, they can run the ball, and vice versa is true as well. Meanwhile, Kansas City defensively, they've shown a heck of a lot better in recent weeks, but this is a different animal they're going to be taking on here. Meanwhile, on the other side, I think the Cowboys' defense is a little bit of a paper tiger. I don't love the matchup of Trevon Diggs against Tyreek Hill, and I'm not sure Dallas has anyone on their roster to slow down Travis Kelce. The real interesting part to watch, will we see Dan Quinn make adjustments, having seen what Gus Bradley didn't do last week on Sunday Night Football with a one high safety look that allowed Kansas City to look a lot more like the 2019 and 2020 versions than what we've seen in the past? Interestingly enough, and I think this hopefully speaks volumes for the listeners, we made this total 53. We're still not willing to go under 56 because of the variance that'll be involved here. So I think this is a game worth watching. You're going to have a ton of live opportunities, and I wish I had stronger sentiment for side or total.
That is like worth noting when people in your line of work set a number and it's a full field goal over and you're still not willing, right? I mean, that does kind of speak volumes. I mean, I've got to imagine, Todd, there are a lot of moments where you guys look at your number and the actual number, you go, whoa, we got to grab this, but you don't want to do it, huh?
No, not in this spot, honestly, because I can see, you know, one of these teams building a two-score lead and suddenly game script goes out the window. So it's such a high-variance game where you're exactly right. I mean, oftentimes if we make an over-under, say, you know, in the 42 range and the total comes out at 44, knowing how important a key number that is, you know, we'll bet that for multiple positions. But in this kind of spot, even having a full field goal worth of value to play with, I wouldn't be stunned at all if we were talking about this game being 38-35 or flirting with that number being played in the high 20s, low 30s.
I think you're right about that, too. There's just so much offensive firepower on both sides. A couple quick college things here. Ohio State laying a huge number. You know, being, for Ohio State and Michigan, neither can really get caught looking ahead. It's probably, you know, more of a factor for Michigan going on the road this week. But, boy, Ohio State's offense, you talk about efficient. I mean, they're just – they're buzzing, and I know that there's some weaknesses in that Michigan State secondary. Are the Buckeyes going to run away and hide in this game?
I mean, that's the way it looks on paper. I mean, I made the game 21, so there is a little bit of value here laying the 19. I know the public wants to back an underdog ranked in the top 5 or top 10, wherever Michigan State is right now, catching this many points. But I think it could be similar to what we saw last weekend against Purdue, where if Ohio State plays on its front foot, Michigan State has to abandon Kenneth Walker, and they just don't have the kind of weapons they need on the outside. I mean, all the talk for the Buckeyes is about Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. Those two aren't even the leading receivers when you have Jackson Smith in Gaba, who's taking over with 59 catches for over 1,000 yards. I mean, they're going to come at Michigan State in waves. Mel Tucker is going to do everything he can to shorten the game. But once this turns into a 14-point deficit, I'm not sure Michigan State can stay in it. So I like Ohio State here laying the points.
How about a couple of best plays for the weekend?
So we'll actually get started tonight in college. We'll go out to the Mountain West. I know this number has been on the move, so we'll tell folks to lay the short price on the money line with Air Force. I personally took one late last night. I think this is a team that can run the ball against this Nevada defense. The Wolfpack could be a little bit hungover from what got away from them last week against the Aztecs. I think Air Force is a team that flies under the radar, pun intended there. I like them to start the weekend off right for us. When we look on the Saturday slate, we'll go into Annapolis, and we're going to take Navy as a home underdog, catching 4 against East Carolina. A great situational spot. East Carolina gets bowl eligible for the first time in 5 years with a overtime victory against Memphis. They have Cincinnati on deck. You saw a very emotional head coach in Mike Houston crying that his players are going to have a chance to go to the postseason. Does ECU really want to run it back and have to contend with a rested Navy team who's actually taken on the toughest strength of schedule based on opponents' win-losses? We've seen Navy hold serve on Senior Day. Last year was the first year they'd lost in 17 tries, and that was in an empty building. I think Navy wins the game outright. And in the NFL, we talked about one game in particular in the NFC North. I'll take the Vikings plus the points. I really believe they close a short favorite on Sunday. I think their season hangs in the balance, and we get an all-in effort, much like you saw from the 49ers on Monday Night Football against the Rams.
Great stuff, buddy. Have an awesome weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. Happy Thanksgiving, okay?
Thank you, gentlemen. Yes. Same to you, and enjoy the great football this weekend.
Absolutely, buddy. There's Todd Furman from the Bet the Board podcast out in Las Vegas at Todd Furman on Twitter. Mike North has his bonus play for us coming up next. This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. College basketball is back. Join Coach Collins and the Cats at Welsh Ryan for matchups against DePaul, Illinois, and more. Tickets are on sale at nusports.com.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
Listen to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Odds couple going up in a little bit on the ESPN Chicago app. You can catch it tonight right here on ESPN 1000 and then the encore replay tomorrow at 10 ahead of White Sox Weekly and Connor McKnight. Let's get to Mike North's bonus play as he joins us every Friday. He's at North to North on Twitter. Make sure you follow him, and Mikey joins us now on the Corona Hotline. All right, Mikey, what do we get for this weekend, my man?
I'll tell you what, Carm, it's been one of those years. What can I say? 1-1 last week. But before I make my pick, I would just say this. I'd like to talk to the Virginia quarterback who I took last week, Virginia. He's warming up an hour and a half before game time against Notre Dame. Then he decides, I don't think I can play. And they're going to play him this week. They held him out of the Notre Dame game. They're going for a conference championship. But I got to tell you guys, if I'm a Virginia quarterback and my name's Armstrong and I'm the leading passer in the nation, I want to play Notre Dame. So, you know, we'll get more discussion on that tonight on the odds couple, along with a couple other things, Carm.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but you know me, I put the stuff down, I look at it. Right now I'm 20-20, 500, and I get this game, and I start looking at it, And, you know, all I know about UAB is Gene Bartow used to coach basketball there. And University of Texas San Antonio, the Alamo. I mean, John Wayne, Richard Whitmark, if you want to even go later on, Dennis Quaid and guys like that. They have they call it a river, it's a creek, and stuff like that. But this is like something big from what I'm understanding. Texas San Antonio needs that game. UAB's getting 4.5, probably going to 5. The pick, guys, is UAB in a 2:30 game tomorrow here.
UAB is the bonus play. I love it when we go
Going rogue now.
Beautiful. Yeah. We go rogue. I
definitely
love it.
Rogue.
Absolutely.
I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, the Yerk wants to go rogue. I almost did something on Indiana Yerk for the 219 folks, but
thank you.
I just couldn't pull your walk. Yeah,
you almost went Jason Bourne on us.
I understand that. And you know what? I mean, there's a lot. Last week, my win was Ohio State. I almost won.
That was an easy
that.
One.
That was an easy one, and that's when I thought everything was good. But we'll have some fun tonight, Karen.
Absolutely.
Good to talk to you guys.
All right, Mikey. We'll see you next week. Mike and I are going to get the odds couple going here very soon, too. We'll get the podcast up for everybody. Make sure you get to the ESPN Chicago app, and then we'll be on tonight. 7 o'clock tonight, Merck. Is that right?
That is correct, Carm. Yes. 7 o'clock tonight.
Beautiful. 7 tonight after Bleck and Abdallah. All right, Bears predictions. What do we think, boys? Do they finally get a win coming out of bye for the first time since 2013? What say you, Yurko?
I say the Bears win. I say it's an uneventful game, 19-16.
I'm with you, Yurko. I have like a little minor vibe, too, and I'd hope that maybe it's a little bit more high scoring, that we see more of what we saw in that fourth quarter and that second half against Pittsburgh. Last we did see the Bears a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Football. I'm hoping it's, you know, they can stretch their legs and score a little bit. But you can move the ball in this Ravens defense. I believe that. I think the Bears win a close one, actually. So we both got the Bears. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. What do you guys think? Merck, Meller?
I'll go first. First of all, happy birthday to Patrick Kane. His birthday today. And former Angels shortstop Gary DeSarcina. I'm going to go with the Bears 21-13 over the Ravens.
Nice, easy Bears win. Bears and Meller's got the pregame with Dion starting at 10 o'clock this Sunday. Of course, he's got fantasy before that. You guys, which location are you at this week, Meller?
We are at the PointsBet Sportsbook in Prospect Heights. So
great.
We will be out and about at 10 a.m. from 10 to noon, getting you set for Bears and Ravens, a game that I unfortunately think is going to go the Ravens' way.
Okay.
I'm not feeling very optimistic. I hope you're more right about this, Carm, than you were about your Jacoby Myers bet yesterday.
Yeah, I think he had 4 catches, but he did not find the end zone. But that's okay. You know, you take a chance sometimes.
That's all right. You're happy because you cashed on your
Bryce Harper
MVP win.
Yes, we did. We cashed with Bryce. Bryce Harper's won 2 MVPs, guys.
And he's not 30
MVP
yet.
And a rookie of the year, and he's 29.
Better chance of a Patriots defender scoring a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah, I think you're right. I wish Bryce Harper were in a White Sox uniform. And I think they always kind of keyed in on Manny a little bit more, but I was that
boy,
whole offseason.
Can you imagine a lefty in Bryce Harper in right field right now
is
exactly what they need.
It's exactly. And that's why it made sense a couple years ago. And I spent the whole offseason, go get Bryce Harper. Spend the money on Bryce Harper. Do it. Spend it. And they just didn't spend it. And I know he signed a 13-year deal. Harper's making $25 million on his deal, though, isn't he? It's like...
I think
the back end is where it gets out of whack, Meller.
Well, no. It's not that it gets out of... It declines, actually.
Right.
But the AAV, Yurko's right.
It's 27. It's 27.
Okay.
Hey, Carm, just real quickly here, Carm.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is from the Bears. They have put Danny Trevathan on reserve injured. The following players have been put in the reserve injured list. Danny Trevathan.
Yeah, he hasn't practiced all week, so I think that was trending towards that. All right, everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the football, and we'll see you on Monday. Thanks to Randy Merkin. Thanks to J.R. Strauss. And thank you to Jeff Meller. He's got the pregame show with Dion at the PointsBet Sportsbook in Prospect Heights Sunday morning at 10. Thanks to Todd Furman, Mike North, and Dan Wiederer for joining us. Greeny's next, then Waddle and Sylvie, then Black and Abdallah, then the Odds Couple. Have a great day. Who's got the final word?
Merkin.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
FanDuel will also make your first real money wager risk-free up to $1,000. If you lose, you will receive it back in psych credit. Unbelievable.